Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, April 15th, 2025. As always, I begin with today's top stories. The first headline reads, Urbana's outgoing mayor. What can I do to help? With Diane Marlin's second and final term as Urbana mayor about to come to an end, editor Jeff D'Alessio, that's J-E-F-F, last name capital D, apostrophe, capital A-L-E-S-S-I-O. Editor Jeff D'Alessio asked community members to weigh in on her legacy in a town hall special that will be covered in section B1 and B3. We'll read that later this morning or this afternoon. Here's what retired teacher Barbara Gillespie, ACT-SO chair, for the NAACP Champaign County branch had to say about the city's outgoing leader. Everybody knew her name, but I was surprised when she knew mine. Joyful delight filled my heart when early in Diane Marlin's term, at a community event, she made her way over to me, greeted me by name, and engaged in a very cordial conversation. Whenever and wherever we have occupied the same space, it was a pleasant interaction. Diane's conversations always pivoted to discourse inclusive of present engagements with young people. At some point before our chat ended, I would hear the words, "What can I do to help?" Over the years, I've appreciated her willingness to take time to encourage and support my work with the youth in our communities. Eleanor Roosevelt once said, "To handle yourself, use your head. To handle others, use your heart." Thank you, Diane Marlin, for using your heart in serving. And there's photographs of, Barbara Gillespie, and a photo of Diane Marlin. So if and as we have time, we'll continue to read about her legacy later on in today's paper. The next headline reads, Champaign County Courts. Alleged DUI driver claims not to recall fatal crash. Has epilepsy. Disputes that doctors warned against driving. This article is written by Luke Taylor and is based out of Urbana. You can reach Luke at L-T-A-Y-L-O-R, ltaylor at newsgazette.com. A Champaign woman who has been charged with aggravated driving under the influence in a crash that resulted in the death of a 2-month-old child says that she does not remember what led to the accident. Her name is Kartilla Brooks. That's K-A-R-T-I-L-A, last name Brooks, B-R-O-O-K-S. Kartilla Brooks, 40, told officers that she has been diagnosed with epilepsy, but originally strongly denied having a seizure just before the crash on March 13th, said Assistant State's Attorney Brooke Hinman. Later, she said she might have had a seizure and not remembered it. Hinman said medical records show Brooks has had 2 prior seizures as of February and that doctors said not to drive until she had gone 6 months seizure-free. Brooks denied ever receiving documentation telling her not to drive. She has not been charged with 4 counts, or she has been charged, excuse me, with 4 counts of aggravated driving under the influence of drugs after a blood test revealed she had twice the legal limit of THC in her system to be operating a motor vehicle. One of those counts is for driving under the influence in a crash resulting in death and has a possible sentence of 3 to 14 years in prison if Brooks is found guilty. The remaining counts are for a crash resulting in great bodily harm, which each have a possible sentence of 1 to 12 years in prison. Hinman said Brooks admitted to smoking a little too much, but denied feeling high. The 2-month-old victim's mother and 2 sisters also were injured in the crash. Each suffered fractures and other injuries after the GMC Envoy, driven by Brooks, hit the family's Chrysler Pacifica at the intersection of Philo Road and Colorado Avenue. Security footage obtained from a nearby gas station, as well as accounts from drivers of other vehicles involved in the crash, indicate that at around 5:52 p.m., March 13th, the envoy traveled eastbound on Colorado into the four-way stop with Philo without stopping. The envoy clipped a Subaru Outback that was traveling north on Philo and turning west onto Colorado, then T-boned the Pacifica, hitting the driver's side sliding door. A woman was driving the Pacifica with her two-month-old daughter in the seat just behind hers, which ended up being the seat closest to the impact with the envoy. The woman's 10-year-old daughter was in the seat next to the two-month-old, and the 6-year-old daughter was in the third row driver's side seat. The envoy then flipped over and slid through the intersection, colliding with a Chevy Equinox traveling west on Colorado. Hinman said the Equinox driver described the envoy flying through the intersection and becoming airborne. Data obtained by police from the vehicles involved indicated that the envoy was traveling at 48 miles per hour and the brakes were not activated as it entered the intersection. The speed limit on Colorado is 30 miles per hour. This was the third crash leading to death in Champaign-Urbana this year and the second which police attribute to driving under the influence. Julio Cucul Bol, 29, of Guatemala, has been charged in a January 19th incident that led to the deaths of Chloe Polson, 21, of Deerfield, and Katie Abraham, 20, of Glenview. Bol was seen having drinks at multiple bars before driving at 78 miles per hour on University Avenue and striking the woman's vehicle, which was stopped at a light. Bol is currently being held in jail as he awaits trial. Fernando Lorenzo Raimundo, 36, of Champaign, was charged with failure to report an accident causing the deaths of James McGammon, 58, of Champaign, on March 4th. When he reported to the Champaign Police Department 2 hours later, he was tested and officers determined he had not consumed alcohol or drugs before the crash, which is currently attributed to rainy conditions on the day. Lorenzo Raimundo was arrested by Immigration and Customs Enforcement on April 1st, and it is yet to be determined what will happen with his case. The next headline reads, Unit 4 School Board meeting canceled over lack of quorum prompts. Quorum prompts another quarrel. So that's meeting canceled over lack of quorum prompts another quarrel. This article is written by Jeff D'Alessio. You can reach him at jdalessio@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Champaign. On the eve of the 5 just elected newcomers being certified by the county clerk, the existing members of a deeply divided Champaign school board were at it again. The latest twist in a 2-year saga for a board that Superintendent Sheila Boozer has described as quote-unquote dysfunctional came just after 1 p.m. Monday when outgoing President Janina Baker announced that that night's scheduled meeting, the second to last one scheduled before the new board is sworn in, was canceled due to a lack of a quorum. Specifically, Baker noted in a statement released by district spokeswoman Stacy Moore that Amy Armstrong, Betsy Holder, and Mark Holm were unavailable for the regularly scheduled meeting, adding, in an effort to provide transparency, members Armstrong and Holm gave no reason for their absence, while member Holder did indicate a work obligation. She was offered an opportunity to participate virtually and declined. Baker then rattled off a few of the agenda items that would be delayed by the meeting being called off. Principal hires at Edison Middle School and Booker T. Washington STEM Academy, the renewal of a school resource officer contract for Central and Centennial High Schools, and a construction bid for pavement and sidewalk repairs at Garden Hills Academy. I apologize to those candidates and their families hoping to celebrate their promotions, as well as companies seeking to get started on projects important to our district, Baker said. We are currently awaiting for members' availability on Wednesday, April 16th, as members Bruce Brown, Heather Vasquez, and I are prepared to have a special board meeting. Armstrong and Holder both said they informed the district well in advance of Monday's meeting that they'd be unavailable and took exception to Baker calling them out publicly. It is rare that I miss board meetings, and I informed the district well in advance that I was unavailable tonight, Armstrong said. Prior to today, there was no effort made to reschedule. have not heard any information on these important topics prior to being asked to vote on them. There's also an agenda item that violates policy, a theme that has been recurrent. The results of this month's election will be certified today. I'm looking forward to the positive energy our new members will bring to this body as together we pursue a shared vision of serving our students. Holder, an attorney, said she notified the district early last week that she might not be available for Monday's meeting if a case was set for trial today. She said she learned Friday that it was and provided an update soon after. I let the district know on Friday that, in fact, the case had not settled and I would not be available to attend the meeting, Holder said Monday. This morning, Dr. Baker contacted me to see if I could participate via Zoom. I informed her that given the fact I have to meet with and prepare witnesses and exhibits this evening, I could not participate via Zoom. If the district was aware of a quorum issue, they had multiple opportunities to reschedule before posting the agenda on Friday and then canceling the meeting today. Furthermore, Holder added, the superintendent has not communicated with the full board outside of board meetings since February. In spite of the board majority giving her the directive to provide weekly responses to board questions regarding district business and possible agenda items. Moving forward, I do not feel comfortable voting on any significant issues until the new board is seated and the district provides all of us with the necessary information to be able to make thoughtful and fiduciarily responsible decisions. I look forward to a fresh beginning and a productive and collaborative relationship with the new board. Holder said, it is time to stop the theatrics and get to work. With a new board of herself, Armstrong, and newcomers, Fatima Ahmed, Christy Arnold, Tony Bruno, Justin Michael Hendricks, and Grace King, who Baker has said will be sworn in during the board's first meeting of May. Holder also noted that a draft of Monday's agenda sent by the district to board members on April 9th excluded Armstrong. At newsgazette.com, what say you? Let us know by submitting a letter to the editor online. And the next headline reads, front and center, there's a large photograph of someone standing in front of a microphone. The caption reads, from Bob Asmussen, a Central graduate, Abbott, ABBOTT, pursuing his acting dream. This article is based out of Denver. If it goes the way Robert Abbott hopes, there will soon be additions to his IMDb credits. The current count for the Champaign native and Central High graduate is one. He played George in 2024's Killer Witches from Outer Space. The sci-fi comedy is available on Amazon Prime and Tubi. It was Abbott's feature film debut. The 30-ish Abbott is trying to make a go of it in the treacherous entertainment business. My big goal and dream is to act in films, Abbott said. He's got an agent and has booked commercial work. Abbott's lifelong ambition was pushed back for a bit by college. He's a DePauw, D-E-P-A-U-W, university alum. And sports, he played football for the Tigers. Abbott played football and tennis at Central. The 2010 DePauw University graduate played for the late Robbie Long, a Centennial and University of Illinois alum at the Greencastle, Indiana school. He was a four-year linebacker, helped the team to its first Division III playoff appearance. Robert's supportive parents, Doug and Susan, are the former owners of Champaign's Abbott's Florist. Starting at age three, Robert and his sister Emily were featured on radio spots for the business that aired on WDWS. Robert Abbott is a big Ed Bond fan. That was my first glimpse into show business, he said. Following graduation from DePauw in 2010, Abbott first tried stand-up comedy. But his goal was to dive into sketch comedy, like what you see on Saturday Night Live or at the Second City in Chicago. Abbott lists Will Ferrell, Steve Carell, Bill Murray, Chris Farley, Robin Williams, and Andy Kaufman as his career influences. Origin story. Abbott relocated to Denver in 2011. Why Colorado? I'd been in the Midwest all my life, he said. I had friends out in Denver, and I was like, yeah, let's try this. Abbott's first venture, into improv was at Bovine Metropolis Theater in Denver. During a year of classes, he made connections with other performers, both stand-up and improv. The great things about improv, similar to football, it's a team environment, Abbott said. Looking back 15 years later, Abbott wishes he had started his comedy career at a younger age. I was so heavily involved in sports and with sports and band growing up, and I love those things, but you can only play football for so long, Abbott said. Sketch comedy has no age limits. Open for business. Today, Abbott and business partners Amy Gerlich and Zach Rowland co-own Chaos Bloom Theater, a sketch comedy and improv club on South Broadway in downtown Denver. Chaos Bloom offers improv classes and sketch comedy classes. Each week from Thursday to Saturday, the theater hosts improv shows. The club's going great, Abbott said. Chaos Bloom was just named Denver's best comedy club by Westworld, a magazine and digital presence in the city. The Denver comedy scene is growing. Not as big as Chicago, New York, and Los Angeles, but in the next tier. There's a huge stand-up scene, Abbott said. Abbott is making a living thanks to Chaos Bloom while continuing to pursue acting gigs. Living in Denver should help. Nearby New Mexico has a thriving film market. Abbott has produced a one-man show with him playing a collection of different characters he has developed. The sold-out premiere was in November. He plans a second show with new characters May 23rd at Chaos Bloom. Another goal? To perform his one-man show at a sold-out Virginia theater. Abbott returns to Champaign-Urbana whenever possible for holidays and Illinois football games. Abbott's longtime girlfriend, Kara Admeyer, owns a flower shop in Denver. And there's two photographs that accompany this article. One is a photo of a man kind of from a distance on stage with people in the audience watching. It looks like a small theater. Football player turned comedy actor Robert Abbott performs on stage. He co-owns a Denver improv club. That photo is provided. And there's another photo that's provided of him standing on stage in front of a microphone performing, 30-ish Caucasian male, and he has like a bald cap on, must be impersonating someone. And it says, Robert Abbott performs on stage in Denver. That photo is provided. And the title for this whole piece is called Funny, How Life Works. Bob Asmussen is a columnist for the News Gazette. He can be reached by phone or email. His phone number is 217-393-8248. That's 217-393-8248. And by email, his email address is Asmussen, A-S-M-U-S-S-E-N, at newsgazette.com. The next headline reads, Top of the Morning, Something to Get You Going Today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Beta Theta Pi's comeback story added its most impressive chapter yet Saturday when Flex and Gate founder Shahid Khan stopped by to encourage the kids. It's not every day you get to meet a billionaire, current chapter president Carson Katzman said. It was pretty awesome. A beta who graduated from the U of I in 1971, Khan spent more than an hour taking questions in the chapter room before joining the group for photos. He spoke from the heart, said Katzman, a freshman from Mokena. The beta's Sigma Rho chapter on campus, which dates to 1902, was reactivated in 2021 after a series of setbacks. The eye-catching house anchors Legacy 202 on East Daniel Street, a unique setup that proud Beta and U of I grads Mike Henneman and Rick Schmidt helped make happen. You can visit newsgazette.com for the backstory. This year's impressive pledge class of 28 brought membership to 35, the university recognizing the Betas for their growth and academics. Khan enjoyed touring the renovated crib and sharing stories of his beneficial time as a theta. Or beta, excuse me. The coolest part, Katzman said, was hearing him say how being a beta helped so much in what he's done, He attributed a lot of his success to being a beta. And there's a group photograph. I think he's right in the front row in a suit, and then all the students kind of standing around him outside on a sunny day. The photograph was provided courtesy of Matt DeFanis. Shahid Khan, front row, fourth from left, joined members of Beta Theta Pi on Saturday. Questions, comments, what say you? You can always reach out to Jim Rosso with story ideas and questions and comments. He could be reached at jrosso, J-R-O-S-S-O-W, at newsgazette.com. Next up, history. Area history. In 1925, the Illinois Senate passed two appropriation bills for the University of Illinois, one for $4,350,000 per annum for 2 years, $2 million for building, and $352,500 for payment of interest on the endowment fund, and the second bill for $50,000 of the money granted by an act of Congress. In 1975, a plan that allows the Illinois Union Board, or the Illini Union Board, excuse me, to consider for donation 50% of its profits from a maximum of three co-sponsored events each fiscal year was approved by Paul Doble, Director of Auxiliary Services. In 2010, Stanley Eikenberry, who returned as University of Illinois President last January 1st to succeed former President B. Joseph White in the aftermath of a U of I admissions scandal, was grilled by the Illinois Senate about everything from the salary paid to a retiring chancellor at the school's Springfield campus to his own salary and the university's affordability. That was in 2010. International history, today's highlight. On April 15th, 1912, the British luxury liner RMS Titanic sunk in the North Atlantic of Newfoundland just over 2.5 hours after hitting an iceberg on its maiden voyage. Over 1,500 people died. 710 people survived. That was today in 1912. Also on this date, in 1865, Abraham Lincoln died after being shot by John Wilkes Booth at Ford's Theater the previous evening. Andrew Johnson was sworn in as the 17th president hours later. And in 1947, Jackie Robinson, baseball's first black major league player of the modern era, made his official debut with the Brooklyn Dodgers on opening day at Ebbets Field. The next headline reads, Danville School District. Officials work on North Ridge plan due to fights student behavior. This article is written by Jennifer Bailey, who can be reached at jbaily at newsgazette.com and is based out of Danville. Following recent fights breaking out at North Ridge Middle School, and another student incident being reported at the most recent Danville School District 118 board meeting, Interim Superintendent John Hart said he too is appalled and that they're trying to address the problems. We're still working on the plan to assist at North Ridge. We were at the school every day last week and working on putting all of our notes together this coming week and presenting the information to the staff, Hart said. The school board last week heard from grandparent Laura Williams. She said she was, quote-unquote, appalled at the behavior of the students in the debacle that happened last week at North Ridge, many seeing students fighting in the hallway on a video posted on Facebook. Williams said she's also embarrassed, telling her daughter she doesn't think her grandson should attend North Ridge next year because of the atmosphere. It's a family hardship to come up with money to attend private schools and to avoid this outrageous behavior, she said. It is unacceptable. Her grandson and his friends are afraid to go to North Ridge, she said. Why should that happen, she said. She asked how can students learn or teachers teach if they're not safe. We have to do something better, Williams said. She's not sure if that's restructuring or what the answer is. Northridge has to change, she said. Cell phone usage also should be stopped with students, she said. We also need to have parent accountability, she said. Hart said the fighting last week was brought from the community into the school. We are working diligently with Northridge. You could not have a better staff, a better group of students. We let a few kids bring us to this point. We need to work together as a community, as parents, and yes, something has to change, he said. A handful of students will not define any of our schools in this district, he added. Northridge Middle School has 7th and 8th grade students. It currently has its highest enrollment in the last 3 years, at 690 students. It had 633 in April 2024 and 638 in April of 2023. Now let's take a quick look at our weather forecast over the next few days. Today, the high will be 56. Partly sunny and breezy, northwest winds 20 to 25 miles per hour with gusts up to 35 miles per hour. It's very windy today. Wednesday, tomorrow, the high will be 63, the low is 35. Areas of frost in the morning, sunny, northwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Thursday, the high will be 67, the low is 46. Partly sunny in the morning, then mostly cloudy with the 50% chance of showers in the afternoon. Friday, very warm. The high will be 80 degrees with a low of 59. A chance of thunderstorms in the morning, partly sunny with the 50% chance of showers. And by Saturday, the high will be 67, the low will be 53, partly sunny with the 40% chance of showers. The next headline reads, under investigation, Mansfield man dies, four hospitalized after two-car accident in Piatt County. This article is written by Jeff D'Alessio and is based out of Monticello. A 50-year-old Mansfield man was pronounced dead at the scene and four others were hospitalized following a two-vehicle crash in Piatt County. Authorities said Joshua W. Beck died after his vehicle was struck near the area of 2500 North Road and 800 East Road. Piatt County Sheriff's deputies were called to the scene at 3:21 p.m. Sunday. Their initial investigation indicates that a vehicle driven by Jason M. Sharp, 44, of Farmer City, was traveling westbound on 2500 North Road and disobeyed the yield sign at 800 East Road. The vehicle, driven by Mr. Beck, appears to have been northbound on 800 East Road when it was struck on the passenger side by the other vehicle, causing his to roll over, according to the Sheriff's Department. Sharp said two of the three passengers in his vehicle were taken to Carle Foundation Hospital by ambulance, with the third passenger airlifted to the Urbana Hospital, authorities said. Sharp was issued a citation for failure to reduce speed to avoid a car crash and failure to obey a yield sign, Piatt County Sheriff Mark Vogelzang said. The Sheriff's Office, Illinois State Police, and the Piatt County Coroner's Office are investigating the incident. Anyone with further information is asked to contact the Piatt County Sheriff's Office at the following telephone number, 217-762-5761, 217-762-5761. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, April 15th, 2025. Thanks for listening, and I'll return to read part two with you shortly. Have a wonderful day.